Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian.
Welcome, my friends, to episode 4 of the retro legendary show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, a Von Wiehunt production. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad in all its glory and our new Blog Talk radio show with an epic retro encore episode 4 tonight. The star date of August 3rd, 2021 AD, and tonight is again a very special night. I welcome you into the Bachelor's Den, America, so enter at your own risk. Now, many of you know we have our hard-hitting political show every Thursday night, but this is a chance for us to take it down a notch or two and have some fun. And we're glad that you're here tonight. This is our new radio show in our epic episode 4. And the theme tonight is Love American Style with a K for effect. And this show will be the fourth episode in a series that will span hopefully 1,000 years as the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. This show is always on time. So understand that when you call, we are always broadcasting at 8 p.m. sharp, the first Tuesday of every month. Now, next month's show will be September the 7th, which is the first Tuesday of that month. If the show gets really big, then we will have a show every week. Depends on you, the audience. Now, this show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, The Retro, and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. Now, we will talk about fun things, dating, relationships, chicks, of course. Love American Style is the theme tonight. We'll talk about how politics and social engineering affect the bachelor. But we're not going to go down too many rabbit holes. If you find me stopping some of the callers getting too serious, this is the fun show. So get some zingers out there for sure. Get your clever comments out there. Brevity is the soul of wit, as they say. And we'll talk about more of the real serious things on the Thursday show. But we're glad you're here tonight. And to move the show along, it's now time for our animal Delta Frat House pledge to all bachelors, past, present, and future.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen. Amen.
Sergeant at arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes.
Every generation has its destiny. And for the young men of America, they have the atomic age, the wild and crazy 1960s, the disco 1970s, the new wave 1980s, the Nirvana grunge 1990s, and now we're into the 2000s, past the 2010s, and now into the 2020s, 2021 being a very eventful year. No matter which decade you're talking about, every man in America needs to go out and buy my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Folks, if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, I can't think of a better one. Start buying for Christmas right now. It's only August. You know those stores will be cranked up here in about a month. Every year it gets earlier, right? That's because they need more of your hard-earned cash to operate. Really is true. So, gentlemen, pirates, rat pack bastards worldwide, put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready, baby. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas style like the movie with your favorite Italiano manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the Bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon. Now, on that note, there was a remote viewer of the CIA that said, he was a bachelor, of course, said he told the CIA that there was a planet out there in our solar system and galaxy that had nothing but beautiful blonde women and just a few men. And I believe him. I believe it's out there. And someday we'll be able to fly there, get the hell off this planet Earth with the crazy women here, and go over there and check out those possibly greener pastures. Now, this radio show is based on my hit books, I told you before, published in October, the October surprise. That's why I picked that date. Everything I do has ulterior meaning, to be honest. October 2012. I also picked 2012, though the book was ready in 2011. I wanted 2012 because to some people, to some scholars, that was the end of the Mayan calendar. And I felt that my book would usher in a new era of bachelor thinking and male superiority, as we do have air superiority in the skies over America. The book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, it's found at fine bookstores everywhere and online coast to coast, that I know you will enjoy. Now, this book loves women. It's not anti-marriage. It's pro-relationship, pro-union, pro-sex, pro-America, pro-goodness, pro-children if they come by the will of God. And it's all the good things in life wrapped into one. However, the premise of my book is that more men today are going to be a bachelor for more adult years than being married. So we're ready to start the show. We have a lot to talk about, as usual. I prep for each show. I actually meditate in my trance state in the studio before I go live. I get all the thoughts in my head, and then I just unleash them on you out there in radio land. We are broadcasting nationwide, and we're also broadcasting in many foreign countries. I told you on our last show last Thursday night, right now over 7.5% of our listening audience is not in the domestic United States. It's foreign listeners who want to know what you think about politics and bachelordom and women and good times and parties and all the hard stuff, too, that we talk about on every Thursday night. But they're very interested in what the American man, the real man on the street, has to say. So you're always on the lookout, gents, for the lovely lady female ambushers based on the Dean Martin, Matt Helm movies, which I own all, in 1967. Dino, he made the ambushers and the Slay Girls retro famous. So whether she is blonde, a brunette, or a redhead, it's all good to us in the Bachelor's Den. And without further ado, let the show begin. Love that song. And actually, the first part of the Ambushers movie showing the chicks dancing around the pool in Acapulco is fantastic. You can catch it on YouTube, of course. Well, in every show, we have kind of a loose structure to this one. I have a little bachelor monologue from my bachelor's den. And then just know, too, that great bachelors can become great fathers. Now, a lot of you young guys reach me during the week. You're emailing me. You're calling the show. You send me lots of information on gab.com and things of that nature, which is great. And you're kind of looking for and you're seeking out some knowledge. Well, you came to the right place, gents. Because I, Von Weehunt, I collected over years and decades intense, provocative, rogue, legendary, and philosophical intel for you guys. I collected it from scraps of dialogue, interviews with expats, men I grew up with, made men in the neighborhood, guys I knew on my dad's side who were military, who fought in Nam. I did the work for you. A lot of guys used to say, man, we get on talking about things. They'll say, dude, you got to write a book about this stuff. You know a lot about this stuff. I go, I do, because I study life. I was always an ardent student of studying life. I was never the best. I mean, I was a smart kid. I was very smart in school, but I never claimed to be the top scholar in school, but I was the ultimate observer in school. Well, the guy next to you can make an A+. I made the A-, but I scoped out the class all semester, and he didn't. So I was distracted nevertheless. But I collected for you guys the information and the intel. It's in my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's being sold on eBay, Amazon. It's a hit book. It's a thick book, but that's why it's called The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Get it? It's a big galaxy. It's a big book, but it's an easy read. You know how I know that? Because I myself have read the book at least 20 times. And the font that I chose was very easy on the eyes, very easy. We played around with the fonts with the publisher. And I said, this is the font that a guy could easily read 4 or 5 pages a night before he goes to bed. Let that sink into your subconscious. Don't try to sit there and read a book of this stature in one sitting. You're going to miss 90% of it. You want to, it's like a great steak. You know, it's got the sizzle and the steak. You want to savor it. This is a meal you want to savor. Eat it slowly. Digest it. Look around the restaurant. Check out the cocktail bar. Check out the girl on the miniskirt that's looking at you. The hot waitress. You're making some friends at the bar. The bartender loves you. She's sending over some drinks. You and your Goomba pals are having a good time. This is that kind of a book. Dino style. Think Rat Pack, not push button. You know, it's more like deferred gratification, but you're in a posh restaurant. You're in a posh bar, a lounge, in your lounge shoes. You're relaxing. The work stress of the day is behind you. Now you're kind of ready to take out the cigar after the steak and maybe a cocktail, maybe some bourbon, maybe some whiskey. Maybe you like a ice cold beer. Cerveza, as they say in Mexico. Whatever your flavor, it's that kind of a book. So I always tell guys, read a little bit of it, go to bed, but with really in 30 days, you read the entire book slowly, methodically. Let these concepts sink in. There's so much information that I wrote it up a little colorful, a little entertaining, and I do things like that so I know it's going to sink into your mind more. I know that in our society, same as my regular show, we like to be entertained in the West. And the more you can make things entertaining, the more they're going to get the broader concept. And then we can focus from there. So, boys, class is in session. The professor is here. And think of this as the Von Wehunt Advanced Class 303. Now, some themes tonight that I thought would be kind of fun to talk about is women's photographs on dating apps. Women's behavior on dating apps. So be thinking about that when we open up the phone lines. Also, do you do things caveman style, or are you a digital playboy who you only do things online? We'll talk about The Bachelor and post-COVID America with a K and how that's affecting men across the nation. I advise you guys to get back to work and start making that money, because you're going to need every red cent of it, trust me, for what's coming. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. The making of the Bachelor Pad, buying your first real Bachelor Pad, guys. I've got some great ideas on that. My two friends are right now, I have lots of friends, but my two other friends of mine right now are contemplating divorce. And we'll talk a little bit about that, time permitting. Now, I love, back in the day, I used to go to Mexico a lot with some friends. We used to go do border runs about once a month, to be honest, hit those cantinas hard. The tequila was always flowing, and the cigars were great. I love those street tacos in Mexico and on the border. But in Mexico, the men have a saying that I never forgot. And I went to, a lot of you guys don't live near the border. I live in Arizona. You guys don't ever go down there. I get it. It's a little more, it's still okay if you know where to go. But, you know, of course, Brett the Surfer, who calls the show a lot, he's always going down to Mexico, at least every other weekend. He's got a house down there at Rocky Point, which really is called by the local Mexicans Puerto Penasco. But getting back to my story, the Mexican men have a story, and they have a phrase that you all need to memorize. I will tell it to you again in my book, one of the 1,000 things that are in there. But they have a phrase called no money, no honey. Now, don't you ever forget that. That boils it down to the essence. Well, then, one thing I do like about Mexico that we bitch a lot about their border and everything that's crazy down there. But one thing I do like about them is they are a patriarchal society where the man rules down to there, not the women. The men rule in the Hispanic countries. And they have a phrase, no money, no honey. No matter who you are, you can be a Rico or Rico Suave guy. That's a rich guy in Mexico. Central America, they call them Ricos. If you're the Rico, the minute you were to lose all of your money, guess what? The women scram. And they leave you boys high and dry. They would leave all of us made men high and dry, right? Well, that's what happens, is that you got to have money in life. Women can sniff out a broke guy, I'm telling you, a galaxy away. And women don't like broke guys because they can't share their wealth with her. Women, I don't care how digital we get in our economy and all this stuff, they still like to be taken care of to a certain extent. Down there, it's a lot cheaper, but the men go, look, no money, no honey. You don't have money for drinks, buy her some street tacos, a little bobble. You're not going to get any that night. She's not going to come back to your place, to be blunt. You're not going to be able to – well, we're not really a family show, but I would say we're kind of a quasi-family show at times. But we have a lot of people that listen to me. But basically, I would say that you're not going to be able to entertain her, is a nice way to put it, back at your bachelor pad. So I've traveled to Acapulco, Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo, and Cozumel. And this is a very common saying among the men there. American men need to incorporate this phrase. You guys are paying way too much for the ladies out there. And no, by God, I don't have a friend in the diamond business. Have you heard this phrase constantly? We're your friend in the diamond business. I don't want a friend in the diamond business, okay? So take your diamonds, shove them where the sun don't shine. And stop playing your ads. I don't want friends. That's not my market. I don't go for the high maintenance women, never have. To me, they're more pain, little gain. And but know what your brothers, guys, are saying around the world about the same subjects that we talk about here. But I like the way they put it. They get right to the point. No money, no honey. And I've been saying that for years. Guys say, why did this happen? Why did that happen? The first thing I zoom in on is the money. And I go, now, in America, we have some of the most beautiful women in the world in America, but to be honest, they're also the most spoiled, where they have outrageous entitlement complexes of things they expect from men, things they want men to do for them. And if you don't comply, well, then she goes, well, I'll just take my business elsewhere. I'll just take my stuff elsewhere. You know what I mean? Capiche? Okay. So knowing that the market is toxic right now, the dating market's toxic, it is jaded. You're going to have to, you know, it's every man for himself. A lot of men right now in the smart move, embroil yourself in your business, in your career. And to hell with these women right now, go the MGTOW way if you need to. MGTOW stands for men going their own way. Build up your fortunes, guys. Make your money. Buy your property. Get your business going. And the women will come later. Trust me. Because women sniff out dollar bills like squirrels sniff out nuts. They will come a-running. They will find you. They will be flocking to you. Having said that, you got to be careful about the women that you date. There's a lot of women out there that have blue hair and pink hair and green hair now, and they're tatted up. It's okay to have a few sexy tattoos, but my God, some of these women are like a walking billboard with 100 of them, and they're all the wrong ones. So if she has a lot of skulls on her and a lot of death and destruction, it's probably not the kind of girl you want to hang out with. Probably kind of depressed and negative. And she might be a great girl, but look for the signs. Like I told you before, look for the signs. Size her up. They size you guys up. You size them up. Gosh, we're going to have a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk a bit more. We got some calls already holding. And right now, I'm going to mix me a cocktail at the bar. And I'm going to play a song for you guys by the Runaways called Cherry Bun. Now, listen to these lyrics. Isn't it true, America? Whether it's 1970s or 80s or 2021, some things never change. Yeah, baby, cherry bomb. I got my kamikaze here, so I'm doing good. Just in time back in the studio here. You got to be a fast mixer, like in my fraternity days at Purdue University. And we're glad you're all here tonight. We're talking to a lot of folks. You know, a lot of you folks aren't quite sure what to take of this show. You're so used to hearing me talk about the political situation. But, again, this is our chance to have some fun on the show. Get away from the hardcore politics for one night and live a little, you know, and have a little fun. It's part of a healthy soul and mind, if you will. You got to get away from this stuff once in a while. If you stay too down in the rabbit hole, too long down there, it will affect your mind, and then you will not be able to enjoy your bachelor life to its absolute fullest, or a bachelorette life if you're a female bachelorette. We'll get into that. I would say this. The women say in America that they are an independent woman. They're always saying that, right? I'm an independent woman. But, boy, would you take them out for a date when the check comes at the high-priced restaurant in Scottsdale or Dallas or Los Angeles or Seattle or D.C. or wherever? The women suddenly act like the submissive serving wench in an early colonial settlement, looking down at their plate, the $10 coffee date, the Von Weehunt way. That's what I'm telling you guys to do. Don't take these, unless you are having wild and crazy sex with wild abandon with that girl, you never, ever, ever take them to a French restaurant or an Italian restaurant, a real high-class place, the first date or two, because one, you spoil the merchandise, two, she no longer has to do anything for you because she's dating for dinner and she already got what she wanted. And in many cases, the girl will dump you guys and move on. And you always wonder why she bangs the bad boy and not you. Well, because you're the schmuck. You're the sucker with the big fat wallet. I thought you would wow her with your money. Women are funny. They're like a double-edged sword. On one hand, they like the money, but they also like the bad boy. They like the guy that's the good guy with the cash, like Madonna's song, The Material Girl, but they still don't always date him or go out with him or go home with him. So I call it this. A lot of guys say spend $30, $40, $50. You don't even have to spend that. Do a $10 coffee date the Von Lehen way. Rule one. A lot of these women now are online, and we're all busy, but the women will say, do you pay for us to meet up? PPM, which stands for pay per meet, PPM. And girls of all persuasions say words to that effect, like, I'm busy. Do I really want to meet you at Starbucks? Are you really worth it? Well, you look at the girl, and she's not even a 9 or a 10. She's probably a 5 or a 6 or a 7, maybe, on any normal guy's scale. Even those girls now feel they deserve a Brad Pitt back in the height of his power. He's 35, 40 years old with abs of steel and a $20, $30, $40 million bank account. They feel they deserve that. And, of course, they don't want to put out to you. They just want to get the money, and they want the pretty boy on their arm while they go have sex with somebody else, to be blunt. But you use a $10 coffee date, guys, and because a lot of you guys are working for 15, 18, 20 bucks an hour. You're slaving away at the company, the business, the office. I know. I've been there. Still doing it. And you can't afford $30, $40 could possibly fill up your SUV. You don't know where this girl is going to go anywhere from Adam. So don't invest that much money up front. Trust me, if the girls want to meet you, they'll show up. If not, you've got to get the concept of next in your head. Next girl, next date, next, next, next. And guess what? If nothing happens, then just hang out with your bros. You know the saying you heard in college, bros before hoes. Enjoy your man friends. Grill out. Go to bars. Chase some skirt. Have some fun. Get slapped in the face once in a while. You know, you can piss off the women and have a lot of fun at these bars. He's trying to be a nice guy, but sometimes they bring it out and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, a lot of you guys, $30-$40 is a lot in this crazy economy. And I even have a better idea for you guys. If you live by an Indian casino, like I do here in Phoenix, I call it the casino date. It's even cheaper. I call it the $1 casino date. Hear me out. You meet a girl at the casino lounge. It's air conditioned. It's climate control. They have all the beautiful bar loungers, leather furniture. Meet her there. Women like to. It's very festive and fun. And sodas are free. Soda, tea, and coffee is normally free in the lounge. I tip the girl a dollar, get a couple of Cokes or whatever. We'll sit down. We'll talk. I've had many good dates that started at a local casino. And then you can use the casino lounge. You can hang out there as long as you want. Oftentimes, the casino will pay for live entertainment. No cover charge. You're there in a very festive Las Vegas environment. Great place for a date. You go to the casino lounge, tip a buck. You met the girl. You sized her up. And you think, okay, will this be date number two? Or will we leave from here and do something else? My place or her place or whatever, or am I done? This is going nowhere. There's no chemistry and we're gone. We're out of here. So that's the great thing about the casino lounge date. Now, we also talked about in the last episode, women dating for dinner. Don't fall for this common female dining scam. A lot of you guys do. And I know you're well-meaning, but look, she is suddenly starving and famished the minute you get to a restaurant. Amazing, isn't it? She says to you before you go on a date, I want to go places. I want to do things. Like my dad used to say, never buy a woman a drink or a dinner unless you are banging her or having sex of some kind. Otherwise, it's like hanging out with your platonic female friends in college or high school or your sister. You know the type. The type of girls who are great girls friendly, but they don't want to do anything. They just want to be friends, and you're in the dreaded friend zone. Once a woman puts you in the friend zone, it's like lifetime in prison. You can never get out of it. In her mind, for whatever reason, in her little hamster brain, you did not make the cut for caveman dating. You are the nice guy in the friend zone. You're someone she'll send social media things to. She'll chit-chat with you. She will tweak your nose and, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Look at this joke. Or here's a political thing. She'll always try to figure out what you like, and she'll cater to you when you call her out and say, hey, let's meet up. Let's get a date. No, crickets. Silence. She runs to the hills, you know, and you're in the dreaded friend zone, so just know what that is. I usually drop those girls like a hot potato. My favorite line in college and after college was, I have very few female friends. If I do, they're all at work. In my private life, I don't have female friends. If I do, they're friends with benefits. But I don't have many platonic female friends. One, I'm too busy. Two, I feel it's a waste of time. It's like the ultimate striptease, and you get nothing out of it. And I can get the same mental stimulation watching a movie or reading a book or going online. I don't need to be buying her a meal and buying her drinks and being her consort with nothing at the end of the date, but maybe a little hug or a little peck on the cheek. That's just not my scene, never was. A lot of guys fall for it. You're called AFCs. If you don't know, you're called average frustrated chumps. You're an AFC. If you have to have lots of platonic friends, you know, like in my dad's era, they would say you're probably gay or you're not getting any, to be blunt. And the women just tweak your nose and make a fool out of you. They know damn well that they're never going to go to bed with you. On my show, we will talk turkey. They're going to go meet the other guy. Maybe the mechanic, maybe the biker guy, maybe the bad boy in the next neighborhood. That is what they're going to do. And that's what they're famous for doing. Women are great, but you have to understand they are duplicitous. They're not like the Charlie's Angels of the 1970s.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
Good stuff there for the 1970s. I'll tell you a little story. We'll get to some calls here in a moment. I'll tell you some stories that one that fell on my desk today. I was talking to a Texas millionaire this afternoon about various topics and things. And one story, I've known this guy for like 30 years. We used to play softball together in Dallas when I used to live there. And He is a multimillionaire, divorcee. I know a few of these guys, but basically, I'll just call him Joe. And Joe told me that he's seen a few girls there in Dallas, and the one girl said, "Hey, me and my friend just booked a room at the Excalibur Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, and we just thought you're such a nice guy, we thought you could put us up in the Cosmopolitan, which is a lot posher, a lot nicer. Now we're paying about $125 a night at the Excalibur, but now Cosmopolitan is $700 a night for the suite that we want, the mini suite. And of course, that's pretty cheap there. They start at $550 and $595, I believe. But she goes, we'd like you to pay the difference on your credit card. And can you do that for us, for me and my friends? Now, he isn't going to Las Vegas, mind you. And he goes, hell no. He's read my book. He goes, no, if I'm not there to partake in her or the festivities, I'm not your walking ATM machine. I'm not Bank of America. My last name is not Trump. No, he is a millionaire. People say, well, that's just selfish. No, it's not. He's not married to her. They're simply casually dating. Nothing serious, nothing on the table. And when a girl calls you out of the blue and wants you to upgrade her from the Excalibur to the Cosmo, he made the right call. I said, yeah, that's what you tell her no. Stay with your friend at Excalibur. Have a wonderful time. I will see you. And then you tell her, I'll buy us a nice dinner when you get back to Dallas. You have all the cocktails you want. And then, Mad Men style, we'll go back to my place. And that is how you handle that inquiry, female inquiry. Guys, don't let the girls lead you by the nose to an expensive restaurant or hotel or outing, as then they only view you as a walking ATM machine and the provider. And she will suck you dry financially, and not in a good way either, if you catch my drift. Scottsdale and L.A. dinners or Dallas dinners at those real posh downtown hotels, they're like the Ritz that I've been to, where she demands two glasses of high-priced wine off the menu. Each glass, for you working guys out there, you working stiffs, like, and I include myself in that, is now $18 to $20 each, plus tip, and not a dollar either. The minimum tip on a glass of wine like that's minimum $2, $3. So that's more than some of you guys make in 1 hour of working for the man. You know what I mean? And so you got to look at these things. And I'll tell you another little anecdotal story. By the way, that's happened to Joe and some friends of mine lately, where the women you might be having a physical relationship with them, but they call you up and they want you to upgrade them, upgrade flights, upgrade hotels. Trying to put you in a vice grip. Don't fall for it, boys. Don't fall for it. You got to be a man and just say, look, when you get back, I'll treat you. We'll have a good time. I'll make it up to you later. But I'm not going to go give you my credit card while you're drunk, inebriated with your girlfriends in Las Vegas. That is just a major financial disaster waiting to happen. By the way, millionaires don't become millionaires by doing that. You get my drift? Millionaires do not become wealthy by making stupid mistakes like that to women. You got to be smart with women and be smart with your dollar, your hard-earned dollar. And one more thing that I saw that I thought you guys would get a kick out of is I saw a lady. She must be a fiance. She has pink chalk all over her SUV, and she wrote, one more fling before I get the ring. And then she drew a little ring. I saw this in my own neighborhood. And she looked about 30. I looked over at her, you know, 28, 30 years old. But that gives you a lot of their mentality. She's broadcasting to the world, I want one more fling before my boyfriend gives me the ring. He probably has no clue of that. and she's driving around town looking for a fling. So, if you see that girl, you give her a business card. And with that, let's get to the phones. Let's get to Paul the Gladiator in North Valley. And let's talk with him about the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, if he's available. Let's patch him through. Mr. Paul, are you there? How you doing?
I am, man.
How you doing, brother?
Hey,
I hear
you. Man, you know, I called the show as soon as I locked the door to the company, and so I was able to hear the monologue this week because I literally usually am working till 9, and everything you said, you know, it goes to where I had a nice dinner for two handed to me by a head waiter of one of the oldest restaurants here in the Phoenix Valley.
Yes.
And I said, you know, and he goes, you know, come down with a date. And I'm like, a date? I'm like, no way, man. I said, I'm using that card, you know, for me and my friends. You know, I was thinking me, you, and Maverick will go down. I mean, we get free meals. I mean, he's going to cover probably meals and at least a drink each anyways. He'll probably cover all three. I figured me, you, and Maverick will get together, go down when Maverick's feeling better. And he kind of laughed. He goes, no date? I go, nah, man. Me and my two boys, we'll come down. We'll have a blast. We'll drink a couple bottles of wine. He goes, yeah. He goes,
well,
yeah, if you do that, you know, I'll cover the food. You know, I'm like, sure you will. He goes, yeah, maybe a drink. I go, look, we'll buy three bottles. We'll pay for two. Don't even worry about it, you know. And I said, my concern is tipping you, sir. Not, you know, not worried about the food. You know,
we'll
so,
take care of them.
Yeah, when you get things like that, you got to go with your good friends. Save the dates for Starbucks, man, or coffee, bean, and tea, like you said.
Yes.
Not the best restaurants in town. That's where you take your boys and you go have a night out.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You meet the girls at Starbucks. You might take them to the casino, have a nice dinner in those casino restaurants. Play a little baccarat, a little bit of a James Bond style, or some slots, maybe some craps or whatever. Don't blow money there either, and go back home. Enjoy life.
Yeah,
that's the name
so,
of the game. That's a well-lived life.
Yeah,
that
you know,
Frank and Dino used to talk about, you know?
You know, I remember at Connecticut State University, at my fraternity house, we used to have, you know, once every 2 weeks, we had a woman come in and cater a massive dinner, right? And
nice.
In college, all these guys are taking these girls out for, you know, even going to McDonald's or Wendy's, you know, going on dates. And we would tell our younger fraternity brothers that we allowed to live in the house, look, man, this is our night to hang out. You don't bring any girl here. You don't, you know, you don't go out to a fast food restaurant for dinner. This is our night, you know, because that's college style. And I said, you
right.
know, this is our night. We are making the feast. You know, we're not paying for this
yeah.
woman to come in and feed everybody else. This is boys' night, you know. And so, you know, you got to bring that into when you get older. You got to have boys' night out, man. And I don't mean going to the bar and getting drunk. I mean going out and having a real nice meal, enjoying it, you know, eat like kings and save those dates for the $5 dates, you know?
Right. We used to have a thing at Purdue when I was in the fraternity there. We used to call it a feast of kings. That's what it was. It was a feast of kings. And we'd go to the grocery store. I can remember like in the movie Animal House, we talked to all these divorcees, right? These sexy Midwestern chicks in the meat coats. That's why I can so relate to that movie. and we would goof off in the grocery store, bring back ribs, bacon-wrapped fillets. We went to the deli, you know, get all the twice-baked potatoes, get the prep salad, and bring it all back. And I remember we would just use a credit card and just charge like $200 in food. Back then, food was cheap. By God, we'd have the people would come over. We have a smorgasbord, just full of food. And by the way, the word smorgasbord is very. They have many restaurants up there called the smorgasbord. And by the way, they are they're so good. Anything you want on a smorgasbord, it's just there. It's so awesome. But yeah, I mean that's what we would do. Same thing, Paul.
Right.
And it wasn't date night. It wasn't bring your date over. It was sort of like Goomba night. Man.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you a funny story about. I'll tell you a funny story about Animal House. So, one of my best friends, who was a year older than me, he went to play football at Union College, up in Schenectady, New York, and he was in a fraternity. He was in a fraternity, Psi Upsilon. Beautiful campus, beautiful fraternity house on campus, old school, ivy walls, you know, the whole, it was a small Ivy League school. And so next door, you know, Psi Upsilon was the party fraternity at Union College. And when I was a senior in the spring, I used to go up there because, you know, I was playing football my senior year in high school trying to get my scholarship, and he was playing his freshman football year up there. So when track came around, my track meets were never on the weekends. They were always during the week. So I could jet up to Schenectady, New York from New Haven, Connecticut, hang out all weekend. Well, next door to Psi Upsilon, the fraternity house, that's the fraternity house where the president, when he graduated Union College, he wrote Animal House about his fraternity there at Union College. So that was, I partied in that house. That was the Animal House fraternity. So he helped write that movie script based upon that fraternity that I used to party next door from Psi Upsilon at Union College. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Love that.
Yeah. So,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, speaking of fraternities and colleges, every fraternity in America needs to order 10 copies of that for the pledging class of their fraternity. Everybody needs a copy, you know?
Yes. Yes. You know, we made some inquiries. We're going to make a lot more. I know last winter I was pretty busy, but I'm going to be gearing things up for a big fall marketing campaign for not only that, but also to hopefully get some new sponsors for our radio shows and to undercut some of the cost here, and that would be great. But it all helps, and mainly I want to get out the knowledge and get out the information, the intel to these guys. And yeah, if they could get 10, 20 copies per a national fraternity. Oh, that'd be sweet. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. On the list, my friend, on the list. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'll reach out.
I'll
reach out. My fraternity, and we were at every Connecticut State University campus and Montclair State in Jersey and Western New England College in Springfield, Wesleyan University. And we set up, when I was there, we set up 15 colleges and universities. So as a member, alumni, I'll actually, and I should have done this for you before, I'll reach out to my fraternity and tell them, you know, go on Amazon, cut a check, you know, give them your card and buy 200, you know, give them out, you know.
Yeah. In fact, I told the National Fraternity Council and some other national collegiate people, I think it was like last year or so, and when the book first came out, if anybody wants me to fly into their campus and talk to their fraternity about the book or about the show or politics in general, I'm always available. I put it out there to a lot of well over 100 inquiries. I had a few nibbles But we're going to retool all that here again. But it's always fun. The main thing is we're trying to get the information out, because I know this. If guys read my book, I clandestinely put some good information in between those pages, and I know that in college you're kind of wiring your brain still. This will wire their brains properly and correctly, where they'll come out at the very least, a RNC guy, a conservative guy, a smart guy, a business guy, a nationalist. They will come out with their head on straight. They will know the pitfalls of dating, the pitfalls of marriage, the pitfalls of relationships, and also the good and the bad and the ugly. It's a little bit of all. You know, I read a lot of married guys, a lot of divorced guys for the book, expats. A lot of information is in there. And again, the book is, if I always tell you guys, if you meet that great girl on the college campus or on your first job, go for it. Because the best time to meet those kinds of women is when you're young and when she's young, before she gets snapped up from age 20 to 35 are the prime years. And I tell guys, if you're looking, that's the time to look for the wife. Now, she may be your starter wife. She may be, you know, your starter family, but so what? That's life 101. C'est la vie, as the French say, right? So
yeah, you know, the rule goes like this: if you're thinking about procreating with a woman, number one, make sure she's really, really attractive. Because if your kids are not attractive, they're not going to have a leg up in life. That's number one. Number two, I always looked for some athleticism as well, because if I have a son, I want him to have my athleticism and a little bit from her as well, to kind of press that forward. So you got looks and you got physicality, and then you look for the brains as well, because you better be smart and have them have a little brain. So, you know, my daughter is from a former Miss Puerto Rico who had an athletic build. She was a dancer, but nothing professional. And my son had a master's degree, Yale University Hospital, mental mind, who was a professional dancer on TV along with my athleticism. So, you know, I always looked for those qualities. You know, she was super, super cute. And, you know, and all my best friends back east were like, you know, we thought we made good choices, but your kids are going to be good looking, they're going to be smart, and they're going to be athletes. And a lot of my friends are like, I didn't make those good choices. And I'm like, hey, I was thinking ahead for their lives, you know, as well as my own pleasure at the time. So, you know, you got to make careful choices with women, because it can blow up in your face. And when you're sitting next to a 200-pound woman in a Momo in your 1979 Pinto, and you're wondering why your life went wrong, you'll know it's all about the choices you made, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah, and that's happened to millions of men. And I always say, you know, look, life is a lot like Chili's. And you know why I say that, Paul? Because you walk into Chili's and you go, I'd like a table for two, please. And the lady always says, the girl there, her name is always Tiffany or Jennifer, she'll sit you down and she goes, enjoy, and she walks away. That's life. Enjoy. So guys, whatever you pick up there, I want to say to you, enjoy and walk away. If you pick the big fat chick with, and some of you guys like that, and hey, I say love is blind, whatever floats your boat. But a lot of women will look good when they're dating and they can't wait to get married, because then they figure, I gotcha. You signed on the dotted line and now I can blow up. I don't mind some padding in the right places. But I do not ever, I see these guys with these huge hippopotamus ladies in a muumuu eating bonbons like what you were saying. And I just go, oh, my God. And on top of that, if she's a bitch, if she's yelling at the man and henpecking him, and you're stuck with that thing, it's a thing for the rest of your life. And you can never, guys can never seem to get away from that. It's like the succubus. It's like the black hole in the universe. It'll suck you in, and you will never get out of that situation. You know, and some of them are great. They're like chameleons, Paul. They look good when they're 18, 19, 20, 28, maybe 30.
You know what? You know what? Here was my rule. One of my mentors when I was young, he said, look, you got to go see their parents first. Whatever her mother looks like and whatever her father's body's like, that's what you're going to end up with. Just assume it be true. And I'm going to tell you, this is why a lot of men in America are either doing one of two things in those situations. Paying for it visually, auditorily for the rest of their life, and kinesthetically, because they're going to have to touch her, right? And then it's either that or they're in jail because something went seriously awry and somebody's either in the ground or very seriously hurt, and the man's in jail for it because that was his only other way out. That's life.
That's right. That's life. And that's why, guys, you always carry a shovel in the back of your truck and SUV.
and when I get the call from my close friends, you or Maverick or my buddy Casey or Marco back east, when I get a call and it's like, hey, I need your help, all I say is, do I need a shovel?
That's right. Exactly. You know? Paul, love you, man. It's Paul the Gladiator, folks. Love it. Great call, bud. Have a great night.
You too.
Good night. Thanks, man. Yeah, Paul's right, folks. You got to figure out if you need a shovel or not when the call comes in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I always say in life, accidents happen, if you know what I mean. Now, these ladies will call you guys a loser. They'll call you all kinds of names in the book. Again, American women are, I think they're very, very pretty. We have some of the most beautiful women in the world. Jaw-dropping, striking, all shapes and sizes, all colors, all ethnicities, my God. But with that, the caveat is the double-edged sword here. As I told you before, they have outrageous entitlement complex. In other words, they feel that if you're not kissing their fat ass, you're not giving them money 24/7, then you're a loser, and you're no damn good, and you're a bum, and that's how they've been trained to think. Because it's funny, they always say they're an independent woman, but yet they always want, like I told you, when the check comes, they're like the caveman woman, they're like the submissive serving wench. They don't have any money. They're not independent at all. They are very dependent on you to pay the restaurant bill, to pay the bar bill. I see it all the time, guys with these big $40,000 trucks, and you're 18. You can't all be millionaires or trust fund babies, but these 25-year-old guys get out of a $50,000 brand-new truck or SUV with a little honey. And I just sit there as the middle-aged consummate professional. As I watch their every move like a lion on the safari. I watch what they do. I watch what they drive in with. I should have been a natural detective, which I am. But I watch every little thing that they're doing, what they're wearing. I just kind of, you know, scope out the scene. And I notice things over time. There are common themes that are in my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. So don't be a loser, boys. Be smart. Buy my book and be on the cutting edge. Be the tip of the spear. Here in the 1960s, they had a movie trailer called The Born Losers. Don't be one of these guys because it sounds like this.
his chicks out for kicks and in for trouble with the born losers.
Just how was the mom initiated?
By getting it from everybody.
We're not coming out of orbit for 3 days.
Look at this! 600 Somalis!
These are the born losers. The sickest sickle gang that ever terrorized a town while the law stood helpless.
If only one of us had the guts to just cut them down.
I've been wanting to crack at you from the beginning.
Are you planning on fighting or talking me to death?
Mr. District Attorney, any truth to the rumors that the girls will refuse to testify?
Remember, all you need is one witness to obtain an indictment.
Born losers, and they know it.
Please, don't do that.
How about a pretty please on your knees?
On your knees.
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
Wow. Just love that. We're so glad you're here tonight on the show. We take some liberties on this show. This is, we don't just talk about things. A lot of you guys like constant chatter, and I get that. People learn in different ways. This book will rewire your brain in a good way, in an entertaining way, and also very truth, because the truth is stranger than fiction.
Los Angeles weather.
Low overcast tonight, low around 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog, beaches now 62, Valley 66, downtown 65, Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the Illustrated Man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are...
Yes. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad, if you just tuned in our new Blog Talk radio show. This is episode 4 of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. We're glad you're here tonight. We have a podcast for this show and our regular show on Blog Talk Radio, always, where I broadcast from. We are broadcasting all over the nation tonight, all over the world. This is our fun show. We'll take some liberties, like I said. And people always ask me, we want to know, is there a bar in your studio? The answer is yes. Emphatically, yes, there is a bar in my studio. 2, did you take some liberties with your female guests? And the answer is always, yes, we did. And by the way, we always wear Numero Uno cologne.
Search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering Numero Uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only 4 basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero Uno Gold. Numero Uno Green. Numero Uno Red. Numero Uno Silver. 4 Numero Uno colognes, all different, all wild. Find yours with a searcher kit, a jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero Uno!
Yes, we are the Numero Uno Bachelor. Like I told you in the monologue, never forget what the Mexicans, what the Hispanic males say on the border there in the cantinas. No money, guys, no honey. That's an axiom that you can live by and take to the bank. And on my show, I don't have a program director running here shaking his hand saying, we said some off-color remarks, we said some occasional profanity just to make a point. We're not a profane show at all, but sometimes in life we are blunt. That's the German side of me, and the Italian side of me likes to have a little bit of fun once in a while as I make fun of my enemies. And we will have fun with the ladies, and we will. But you have to know what you're dealing with. The American woman of today is not like your mother. Back in the day, the young woman of today is totally different. Their expectations are off the charts. You know, like, for example, my mother would go in the kitchen, eat a tuna salad or a Caesar salad and be totally fine with a slice of chicken or something. Now when women go out, they also want surf and turf. They also will drink you to death. They will drink up the whole bar. It's funny when you go over to the women's home, there's never any food in the fridge, never any in the pantry. It's always maybe one little box of raisins or one little box of a can of this or a can of that. And but boy, she always says, oh, she's never hungry at her place. When she comes to your house or when you have a date, now she's famished. She's just famished. And she wants you to pay for it. So if you're getting something out of it, boy, then go for it. Otherwise, you're being used as a tool of the trade. It is what it is. It is the dating game. That's why I believe words mean things. It's called game for a reason. You are the mark. She is gaming you in the dating game. She's using you, using your wallet, using you like an ATM machine. Oh, women are probably cringing, hating the show, listening all over the country. How dare Von Wehunt say that? Women used to call the show at KFNX 1100 AM in Phoenix and go, Von Wehunt, you're incorrigible. I can't believe you just said that. And I would say, I'm guilty as charged, you wench. No, we love women on the show. And again, the book makes light of a lot of these things. All I do is I say that men have advantages and women have advantages. The one thing that women have as an advantage, they can walk into any bookstore. There's thousands of books on women and how they feel and their feelings and their strategies for this. There's strategies for dating. There's strategies. So guys, they are wargaming the situation constantly. And they're aligning themselves against you. They're trying to get your money, your assets, your sperm, maybe. If you like that, cool, run with it, go with it. But you have to understand that this is a war. It's a dating game war. And a lot of things, and most things in life are wars. Business is war. Hate to burst your little bubble, but you guys got to grow up. Business is war. Politics is war. Dating is war. It's all war. It's just different versions of it. Now, we don't kill each other. Back in the caveman days, you would get a club, find the hottest chick, club her, not to kill her, just kind of knock her out, drag her back to the cave, and then he'd have his way with her over the campfire while the dinosaurs looked at him in amazement. And today we don't do that. Today we go on Tinder. We use online sources, but it's all the same game. And guys, you got to be good players at the game. It is like a part-time job now, dating and meeting women. Women today get 300, 400, 500 inquiries a week. Women have shown me their email accounts, where men get very few emails from women on dating apps, but women get hundreds of them, because there are a lot of losers, a lot of guys that do nothing but spam women. And they'll do 1,000 to 2,000 emails a week. They're going by the numbers game. And if they get out of that 4 or 5 who want to meet up and the rest ignore them, that's who they focus on, the 4 or 5 who responded, or the 10 or the 20 or the 50, whatever. So there's a lot of that going on too, where guys can't afford to go out. They don't really want to spend money. They want to just meet and hook up. And that's part of the American hookup culture. Nothing wrong with that. If it's two consenting adults, that also happens. On my show, everything is on the table. We will not mince any words here. We'll leave some things to the imagination, of course. But, you know, these things are going on daily. And, guys, you just need to know what game you're in, analyze it, and figure out how you're going to implement things and what you're going to do when you get there. With that, let's get to the Irish Pirates, our tech wizard, our illustrious fun pack guy, who is also at a compound somewhere here in Arizona. And by the way, if you want to call the show tonight, we are at 563-999-3437. All new callers will get in the show. I guarantee you all new callers get first in line. Again, 563-999-3437. Let's get over to the Irish Pirate and hear what he has to say. Irish, Are you there tonight, sir?
Yes, I am, sir. Proud to be of that caveman variety that you're talking about. I don't do digital very much at all. And that doesn't mean that I don't love technology, as you were describing, but the problem is, do I know anybody that ever made, I don't know, a dating website that actually wasn't just in it to try and put their bots on there and keep people strung out thinking that they were actually chasing real people? The answer is,
that's
of
right.
course, when you're the first 30 days or so, you know you're going to get set up. Now, that doesn't mean
to
I
get
don't
your
know
money.
People.
To get your money. Yeah.
Once they got that, then you're on your own, but you were on your own anyway. So what's the point?
Right.
Yeah, it's like that. This is the first show I think that I had to interrupt making a fun pack for you to actually get on your show, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
It's all on We Hunt this Tuesday. So I've been looking at
good.
Some things. I definitely like that song you gave me from the Love Me Nots. We're going to definitely soup that up and get that proper.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the one that was put out there was extremely poorly recorded. I may actually look for somebody to put up a vinyl rip and see if I could go that way. But anyway.
Nice.
That's why I love being a tech wizard, because I don't know what I'm going to get. When you want something, it's rare enough that I just can't go out there and get the good old Geffen Records version of the thing that's out there for 25 years. It's not like that here. We operate on a much tighter, much more intuitive angle. And I'm different than Paul the Gladiator, Brett the Surfer, different than Vaughn We Hunt. I try to represent the biblical end more than most people want to. And I think that's kind of fun, because God didn't make us not to be pleased with our mates. God didn't make us not capable of really enjoying a good-looking woman well past, you know, the 20s, whatnot. There are guys out there, I mean, they tell stories of women who are actually capable of actually bearing children at 80. I mean, what were they up to?
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine. But here's the key. Nowadays, we don't have that luxury. And the one thing, I mean, sure, there might be some women out there when you first meet them, they may have an issue of some sort. But the neat thing is, can you help them fix it? That's part of the fun part of it. If obviously they look like they're going to be going out of bounds from day one, which I've been caught up in, although it wasn't in the physical aspect, it was the other way around. We're dealing with a narcissist who absolutely did not understand truly how to operate a relationship. And that's about 20% of America, men and women. So, you know, you're rolling the dice every time you put yourself out there, but I think that's part of the fun of it. And when someone isn't understanding that the main idea part of a relationship is you can get there twice as fast, but it'll cost you twice as much, it at least allows you to be able to work together and actually see the benefits of what you're working with. You should be able to see those benefits in the woman that you're purporting to. You should be able to enjoy even more over time instead of realizing, you know, what am I getting? And if you find out what you're getting is not exactly what you bargained for, even though it's a benefit, that's a bad sign. It's not what you were bargaining for. It's not what you were talking about at the beginning. It's not the way that the verbal contract went down in the beginning. That's trouble. Because what the world is missing in most of their women to this day is understanding. Most of the stuff you're talking about is short term, and so be it if that's what you're looking for. I'm not. Hopefully, the person that I attract is going to understand that I'm highly analytical, and you're not going to get away with stuff. You know, if you're a hypocrite, you get around me, it's not going to take too long before I find something I got to ask you.
Right.
You said this on day 3, and now it's day 93, and you're already 180 degrees. It's like, what's up with that? And so maybe that's a chiding, if you want to take it as that. I found something. Or do you want to take that as a serious red flag that I wouldn't mind if we could fix that right about now? And these things do happen, and it's unfortunate. And like you said, yeah, you're better off if you can get it, meeting someone when you're really young so that you can take care of some of that out of the way. This is the woman I've always been with. She knows me, and everything's going to be fine. No, we're the age we're at, Von Weehunt, now you got a problem. There's a past. There's a black cloud back there that somebody probably is still running away from. And when you hear the story, you're running away from it too, for that matter. Doesn't matter, though. You still end up with someone who could use an improvement. And the bachelorhood that I have always been talking about on these shows has said, I'm not just a bachelor because I need to be better off and hopeful, but I'm also got to be able to set up that man cave so that I can help someone through their problem, their healing part as well. I don't want to say this is going to be an I win relationship every week. I want you to get the benefit one week and then thank me for it the next. That would be the faster way to grow in a relationship, is that I can prove to you that I'm worth your time. But unfortunately, most of the women I've met, I give them something they could never achieve on their own by working with me, and sometimes I could just do it myself, whatever it might be. And then the instant answer is, now I want something else. That's when you hear the car brakes. I don't want to go any further with you. You're not thankful. You're not understanding of where the gifts are coming from. They're not coming from me. These are gifts from God most of the time. And I just happen to have a few of them, and God gave them to me for a reason. And you're not just going to take one after another and walk out the door with it. It's not going to work that way. I'm trying to bring you in, not kick you out. And unfortunately, looks like you're
like
ready
that.
To run. Here. Yeah, here, I might help you with that if that's where you're going. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Exactly,
so the real
man.
The real question is, hey, American women, especially you here in the West, where there's a lot of political differentiation, a lot of push to try and make, you know, on either side of the California-Arizona border, you're dealing with some serious issues. I don't care what they are. I mean, they're just, there's 180 degrees right there in a political spectrum just for a starter. So here's the problem.
Right.
When you're on two sides of a border like that, here's the one thing you better be understanding. Better know, hey, I just crossed over into Arizona. These guys are going to be different. You know, and if you really
That's
think
right.
we're going to cater to the, because, you know, my daughter right now is still in California. And literally in one of the conversations we had recently, I asked her, like, you realize all these freedoms are disappearing. She says, Dad, I don't even think I know what freedom really is. I'm like, you don't. We need to talk about that. So she is coming out hopefully in the next month and a half or so, and that will probably be the number one discussion on the table. Where do you think your gifts come from? What do you have to offer someone else? Luckily for her, she is understanding. Blew my mind because, you know, I didn't get to raise her the way I wanted to. But she has that natural ability to listen and understand. And as we talked about before, she blossomed later in life. I feel very sorry for the women in America that blew out at about age 13 and started looking like they were 19 at 13. They get treated wrong by the American men. I admit that. I don't claim to be part of that group. That they're always, you know, they're looking at what the opportunities are, and they think that's some sort of a blessing. For most women, that's a curse. It's false advertising.
Right.
And I've had some of those women as girlfriends later in life, and they always talk about that, saying, I wish I hadn't developed that early. And ironically, that's what we're seeing scientifically. Almost every science that's out there saying, we can get your daughter to blossom earlier and earlier. That's what we're looking forward to. It's like, I don't like your technology.
It's very creepy.
Okay.
I know.
Well,
back in the day,
in our
the phrase.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, back in the day, Irish, the phrase, we have the technology, meant something a lot different. It was for the $6 million man, not to make women blossom faster at age 10 or something, which is creepy. I totally agree with you, man.
Well,
we went through a legal age.
Patriot friends just called me before the show, and we had this discussion about, is technology really helping us, especially as men? And I went back. I said, before I was born, I remember in the 50s, I've actually seen some of the commercials on why you need a washing machine. And if you're a technophobe, you're going to go, no, I can do it better myself. But I like that voice. That commercial. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. I am a professionally trained voice character actor. Maybe I'll throw a few more in. The washing machine idea, I said, I support that. They said you could use a washing machine to save you time, you money, you effort that you don't need to put there. You could put it somewhere else in your house. And I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I fast forwarded it to a cell phone. What's in, in a cell phone that I don't already have? It's got a camera in it. I've got three cameras. What are you talking about? So I've noticed that there's a disconnect as I've gotten older with have technology and we know you're going to want it. And the answer is you're wrong. I didn't want the technology. I wanted the freedom. I wanted the ability to do more with less. And you missed. I mean, and most of this technology, as it got worse, came from overseas where they did not understand Americans.
That's right. Now, Irish, I want you to use that voice and say, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy is the greatest radio show on planet Earth as your sign off with that voiceover that you just used.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'll have somebody. Well, there'll be two.
Can you do it now live?
To be the one. The what?
Can you do it now?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do it now.
I was imagining for that voice. That voice was mean. So here's what he would say.
Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Is that some kind of a program that brainwashes men so they don't understand women anymore?
And the answer is you're crazy, weirdo. Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy?
I like that. Do some more. Now say The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy is the greatest book ever written.
Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy by Von Wehhunt, a book for the ages. And if you're of the wrong kind, yesteryear's ages left behind and only the real bachelors moving forward.
Yes!
That would be a good one.
Yes! Love that. Irish Pirate, thank you so much, man, for calling the show. Great voiceovers there. Our multi-talented tech wizard folks. The Irish Pirate. Thank
you,
sir.
Understanding women, please call the show. We'd like to get to know you.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Irish. Yeah, folks, our phone lines are still open. We'll get to Brett the Surfer here in a minute. But our number is 563-999-3437. It took a year or so to build up the original Von Wehhunt show, which Irish and Brett the Surfer and Paul the Gladiator were a part of. And others. It takes a while to build up the audience, but they will hear this, and this is only episode 4, so they will hear us in a moment again, and next month, and the month after, and we might do some more encore shows as well. But Dino, back in the day, at the Ambushers in 1967, by his cocktail bar, his lounge chair, and his really cool robe, he sounded a lot like this.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule, and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one Matt Helm, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the Ambushers.
They're the Ambushers.
That's right. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. This is the Von Wehhunt Show.
Good sense, ill sense, crippling mankind. Dead king, man.
glad you're here tonight on the Von Wien Show. Let's bring in Brett the Surfer. That was his intro. Surfer Man, are you there tonight?
Von, how are you, man?
Well, I know you tried to call the show, our Thursday show, man. Those have been jam-packed with calls and information. And by the way, you have noticed, Brett, that we've had a lot of new callers on the Thursday show, or some people that called once or twice maybe a year or so ago, but they are calling back. And I've been listening to every episode, every call. So I keep telling you guys, when you call the show, you have a lot of power. People do listen to you as well, all over the nation, all over the world, man. But this is a fun show. And what are your thoughts about the Bachelor's Den and dating in America, men and women, Adam and Eve? You take it from there, sir.
Well, I'm gonna throw all my bits of wisdom, out there, and I just hope that the last caller had a girl coming in from L.A. Is that what he said?
I believe so.
California?
That was Irish Pirate.
Irish Pirate. Yeah.
I hope he does.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I hope the girl came from L.A.
That's exciting, man. You know, sounds like he knows what he wants, and he's going to go out there, and, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. It's
right.
Got to be a crazy, crazy situation out there, you know, for but there were a lot of, a lot of those things that he was saying, it's true. You know, there's a lot of entitlement going on, and a lot of people that are just selfish, just into themselves so much that it wouldn't be good if they got married. If two people got married that were just so into themselves, and you know, and I that would be probably wouldn't be a good thing, you know what I mean? I don't think it'd really, really last, you know, but, you know, I'm sure I remember the days hitting the happy hours and, just some hitting to Vegas and Hawaii and Mexico, deep down in Mexico, and living the single life down in Puerto Vallarta and at Cancun, if I was out there. And you've got the book on the lifestyle, and and like we've had conversations. I think that a lot of people have a strong reason, you know, that they like the bachelor lifestyle. You know, it's not for everybody.
Well,
but,
I always say marriage is not
people.
For everybody. The problem with marriage in America and all over the world is it's one size fits all. And not everybody, like you said, is really has the mental capacity, if you will, or ability to really do it. And I always say it's the biggest, most serious decision a man will make in his life. Does he marry this woman and raise kids or not? And it's going to change everything about how you live, where you live, financial, travel, what you're going to do for the next 20 or 25 years, gents. I mean, you're saying that this is, you know, in 25 years of your adult life is almost a lifetime, you know. And,
it's
a very serious situation where Maya book just says if you meet the right girl, go for it. Marry the girl. Be the best dad you can be. Have a couple of nice kids. I've got a lot of young guys that are concerned, Brett. They can't afford it. And I say every generation says that, and you're right, things always are different.
Yeah.
You know, we have inflation, they'll cite the zombie apocalypse, they'll say, and all that's true. The zombies are going to come out eventually.
I was born, I really don't want to give out my age, but when I was born 66, and I guess that music corresponds probably with my birthday, but they were saying, hey, why would you have kids now? You know, in fact, two of my neighbors, they never had kids. And
every generation says
married,
that. This is the worst time to have kids.
Yeah.
Every generation says that. Can you imagine being a parent in World War I or World War II or Korea?
Yeah.
or the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. What changed dating was the magical invention of the pill. Before then, there was always been wars in history. I told you, men just got, you know, they met a girl, they had kids, and that was that. They were sent off to war, all these countless brother wars we've talked about. And yeah, hopefully they made it home for their offspring. But there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world. And now the pill, it's really a choice if you're going to, in most cases, because I know when I was coming up, women were popping that pill in like candy. And nobody hardly used protection, let's be honest. And they said they did, but very, very few people did, probably 10 or 20%. But that's just the way it was. And a lot of the girls never got pregnant. They might have had one, but they took care of it, which isn't good either. But I'm just saying, I'm just stating facts. It's just, that's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to judge anybody. That's not my job. That's God's job. My job is simply to get the information out and talk about these things as your illustrious host. But you're right, man. Yeah. I mean, the dating scene is pockmarked with all kinds of pitfalls and potholes. And again, marriage isn't for everybody. Really and truly going the single route, the MGTOW route, is best for many young men today. And I don't push marriage on anybody. I don't push anything on anybody. It's an individual decision. Some guys, like in my book, I always say they have the dad gene. Some men I knew at age 15 said, I want to be a father. I go, great, you got the dad gene. I mean, I knew at an early age, knew all that they wanted to be a father. Me, I could have taken it or I left it. To me, it was always an option. It was never a burning desire. And so I say you should have a burning desire if you want to get married and have kids, because you're going to need every ounce of energy
It's a different dynamic once you get married. And then once you have kids, that changes that dynamic even more. And it's even a more intense dynamic. But it's an amazing thing too. But I don't know. I guess that I really didn't have a dad gene. I kind of was just like, she was a surfer, you know, just like kind of taking it as it comes and living my life. And you know what? But I don't know. For me, it was, the kids were very well planned out. So that was after 8 years of marriage. But you know, but I don't know. It's not for everybody, and it's a certain thing that, and I think there is the dad gene, you know, in certain people.
I know there is.
Hey, that's what I want to do.
There are men at very young ages who definitely know. And you had your surf zen moment, Brett, which is similar. Kind of an epiphany where you went, I'm ready to be a dad. I'm ready. And I had a friend like that too. He had no big burning desire to be a dad. He just knew it was time, kind of like time. He met a girl, fit all the criteria. A lot of guys too are, no, this is not, and I know that you're not like this for me, you're my audience, but this friend of mine in Phoenix, great guy as a teacher, he's kind of lazy. He didn't want to really meet girls online or go to bars or go. He was tired of going to events. A lot of guys are homebodies, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of guys like to stay at home. They go out for a meal to Applebee's or watch a movie, and they want to go home with the honey. And their idea of a good time is to relax after a stressful week at work. They've already seen enough traffic and of people. In his case, kids every day in school, so he wanted to get away from all that and away from tons of people and just relax. And he's got two kids now, and he's still happily married. Mm-hmm. But even he told me, he says, there's days that I kind of wonder what I did, but he said, I'm cool with it. And I've got, and there, like I said, there's pros. Nothing's perfect in this world. Nothing ever will be perfect. I think people are looking for perfection where it doesn't exist. This is by design an imperfect world. You take the good with the bad, you make the best of it, and you move on. And that's the best you can do. And I think you made a great decision. I think, but I think that there's a lot of people are just not cut out for it. And if they're
not,
go, then you guys need to understand that, you know, like I told them in the monologue, say 18 to 35 is a man's prime years to meet a hot wife. After age 35 to 40, you're kind of in the gray area. Definitely by age 45, you are full blown sugar daddy. You are, and I talk about this in my book. Yeah, if you're not married, women view you as a sugar daddy, a walking ATM machine. Once you get some gray hair, my book, I call it the silver fox. Now you're the silver fox. Now you're the guy. You're master. You mastered the world. You mastered your universe. You've been through a lot of relationships, a lot of lovers, whatever the case is, girlfriends, and you're now very shrewd, very smart. Now, you know, people always say, well, you know, you're set in your ways. They'll say that you're, but I see that's a good thing for men to be set in their ways, because then you know what you like and you know what you definitely do not like. Why? Because you have experience on your side. You've already been on 1,000 dates since high school. Or junior high, you've already been to thousands of events. You met every possible female personality type that's out there. You have. There's about 100, and you met all of them. You probably dated half of them and didn't even realize it. And that's why with experience, you know what you like and what you don't, what you're not going to, in other words, what you're not going to put up with. And when you're a young guy, you don't know yet. When you're 20, 25, 30, you're still learning about life. When those guys get married, they put up with way more crap than, say, a 40, 50-year-old guy getting married, because, the 45-year-old guy, 50 years old, whatever, 50, 60, he knows what he's doing. He knows why he's getting married and what they're going to do when they get there, because he's already been through a lot of crap in life, in business and personal. And things crystallize about that age. And that's a good thing, because I tell people that say that, I go, you know, men are getting smarter, way smarter. And look, there's tons of books out there for women. There's only one book for men. That's mine. And that's why I wrote. I'm the only man. When I researched this book, oh, there's books on Brett, like how to build a bachelor den, how to throw a bachelor party if you're in college, how to set up a tiki bar, how to do things like that. But there's no books on the encompassing deep bachelor life in America or in the Western Hemisphere, put it that way. And my book is the only one that talks about all those aspects of life. Financial, social, family. As you know, as a married guy, there's a lot on your plate, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know it is. It's a job after job, you know, especially with my age is six, you know, I mean it truly is. But you know, I think it's almost getting to the point where it is probably 50-50. Now it's probably close to an even split with the single and married people. You know, I think that it is getting almost to that point. I don't know exactly. You know, I don't know why it's. I think it's because it is a lot of people are just more comfortable by themselves, possibly or. I don't know.
Well, they basically have grown up. If you don't get married early, and if you don't get, you're not used to having somebody in your house, and then you, let's say you've got a house already filled up and you've got the house just the way you want it, to marry somebody in midstream and bring somebody completely new, though maybe you might have dated her for a year or two or three, it's still bringing in a person you've been doing the same thing for 20 years, literally. Now you're bringing in somebody midstream into your house, your personal domain, your lover, your fiance, whatever, your best friend maybe. But you still, it's a lot of pain, because it's better if you're dirt poor and you don't have anything, then you can kind of grow up together, you know. But now you've got furniture. You've taken over all the closets. You've taken over all the storage. You don't have room for two houses in one, in other words, because she's done the same thing. She probably has her own house, and the girls always want to do a big merge. They'll say, I want one roof, and we'll cut our utilities in half. That's how they always rationalize it. Actually, you're probably better off with two houses for real estate. Have her live next to you with a little side gate, and you can make your house the party house, and she can have her own house. And for conjugal visits, you can just use your house. But I think that's the way to go if people are middle-aged. Is just
conjugal visits. If you're older, if you're an older and you don't want kids, you know, and, you know.
Nothing wrong with that because you got twice the real estate. You got your house in your name. She has her house in her name. You're both beneficiaries to each other, right? So in case one were to pass away, one would receive the benefit. Okay. So you can do it like that. So there's little creative things you could do, but it's interesting. There's all kinds of relationships that are out there. And again, being the fun show, it's a deep rabbit hole. All we're going to do on my show is talk about the highlights of it. But I want to thank you for calling, Brett. I hope you call back on Thursday.
I wanted to give you a ring.
You on the air.
I think that you're going in the right direction with this. You know, a lot, like I said, 50% are married, 50% aren't, you know. So, I like to support the
each
show.
To his own. Each to his own. Whether you're married or single or contemplating either, each to his own, baby. Thank you, Brett.
Right,
have a great night, man.
Keep on rocking, Vaughn. All right, brother.
You know it. We're going to rock in the real world, brother.
All right.
Thanks, Brett. That's Brett the Surfer, folks, from his fantastic house in Central Phoenix. You know, a lot of our troops are overseas. A lot of our troops are out there on bases all over the world. Well, a lot of them probably hear this when they go off base. Yes, they do listen to this. And remember, when you're meeting those ladies, boys on the foreign bases, your mother only lets you spend $5 for entertainment, okay? Yes, and just don't take no for an answer, boys. And that's all over the world. That was a big club song back in the day. So our troops hear that everywhere they go. The ladies are at port. They're outside the bases. So be careful out there, guys. Take care of your troops, of your comrades, of your soldiers in arms, wherever you go. Yeah. Well, we're so glad that we've had episode 4 now. This show is a success. And look, we're in a very good spot because right now here's some current Hollywood bachelors and some great people of history that were bachelors. Right now, currently in Hollywood, there's Zac Efron, Harry Styles, Chris Evans, Bradley Cooper, Brad Pitt, Al Pacino are all bachelors. The scientist Isaac Newton was a bachelor. Voltaire, the French philosopher, was a bachelor. Madman actor John Hamm is a bachelor. Jake Gyllenhaal, Scott Eastwood, and many, many others. Let me read you an excerpt from the book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, as well, which you can find at all fine bookstores and online. Always remember, guys, that it's very easy to get married and hard to stay single in our American and Western society. Your express goal as a new Renaissance man is to stay as happily single for as long as you possibly can, and to only get married when you are fit and ready, and then only on your terms and timetable, period. We never say never to marriage per se, but then again, she must be worthy of our manly horse pursuit, just like an old world English fox hunt, quote unquote, with the dogs in tow. Yes, this is from my book here. I say, welcome to our Bachelor's Secret Society, gentlemen. We have been expecting you. All I am giving you as the Western Bachelor of today, as I read on, is more options and cool ideas in which to write your life story, rather than the stuffy one-size-fits-all approach of traditional marriage in our society. And if anything goes south on you boys, she will get half. The traditional marriage in our society with the white picket fence, which is constantly being crammed down your throat every day, it's not for everyone. It is always up to you and how you want your life to be. Though you may get married someday, you will at least have more fun being a bachelor while you are one, and your goal may even be to stay one as long as you can once you read this book cover to cover, as your wisdom and enlightenment will grow exponentially. I strongly believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This book celebrates maleness in all its glorious stages of life. Our wise founding fathers of this great country never promised us any kind of happiness, only that we had the right to pursue happiness, key phrase there, pursue happiness at all levels. I strongly believe that this book can help millions of people similar to those of you and myself, and that with that caveat, and on the altar of knowledge, I now give you the one and only and the most distinguished macho manifesto in the entire world. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. And that, my friends, was the foreword part of it and the formal introduction to the book. Yes, it is the retro and modern day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. And any college or university out there that wants to know more about this, please contact me at the station or vonwehunt@gmail.com or call us at 563-999-3437. We've heard some calls tonight. We talked about some things that are taboo in our American society. Men aren't supposed to commiserate or talk. There's more than two men talking today in America. The elites call it a conspiracy. Well, it's a conspiracy of ideas, a conspiracy, yes, that we will embrace. Because if we don't talk about our own lives, we know the media is against you. We know the government is against you. If we don't talk about it, nobody will. Remember that. You got to plan your lives out, boys. You got to be thinking all the time. You got to be thinking about how you're going to live your life, what you're going to do when you get there. Sometimes in life, they really are against you. And I would say that a lot of you guys need to be thinking, get serious about life, develop your businesses, get your education, get that graduate degree, that medical degree, that law degree. By the way, boys, if you're looking for women, they're all on the college campuses. The last stat I heard was about 60%. The guys, the odds are in your favor. Go back to college if you're not making it. Get a real degree. Get something tangible. That's where the women are. That's where the chicks are, the parties. Get that loan. To hell with it. You get your whole life to pay that stuff off. I had a few GSL loans, paid them off, no problem. You'll make some more money. But the women are all roaming these college campuses, and they're looking for men. You guys are working some dead-end job. If you're not making it, if you're not on a good, solid trajectory, then get out of that hole that you're in and make something happen for yourself. Seriously. It's unbelievable what's going on out there. So be thinking about that as you go forward. You've heard some from some very smart callers tonight, Paul the Gladiator, the Irish Pirate, Brett the Surfer, all with their own information, their own stories to tell. And that's really what we're doing. It's like a Viking bonfire back in the day where the Viking men would come back from battle in the Germanic Goth area, and they would talk about their battles and the battle scars and what happened on the battlefield, the conquering of lands, the conquering of territories. And these stories, these parables, were told by the elders, the men, the warriors of the tribes, the young warriors, over a Viking bonfire to impart the wisdom and the intel of the ages. A book of the ages is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. And guys need to read it and buy it. You need to learn from it. So I have collected for you quotes and interviews and priceless dialogue that's an easy read. But back in the day, that's how business was done in ancient times. The bachelor young warrior would sit there and listen to the older warriors, and he would learn, take notes, and listen. Listen intently with your eyes wide open and your ears wide open. Take copious notes, mentally at least, and only then would you really know what's going on. We're so glad you're here tonight. Episode 5 will be September the 7th, the first Tuesday of September. We're looking so forward to having you be on the show at that time. That'll be our next show. It'll be great. I'm looking very, very forward to it. So, folks, this has been a great evening with you all. I bid you farewell. Please be here. Stay tuned for our show this Thursday in 2 days for the episode 62 of the infamous legendary and rogue Von Wehen show. So, guys, have fun out there tonight. Watch out for those devil women. Love the one you're with. Treat her right, and maybe she'll treat you right. It's a bachelor universe. It's a bachelor's world. You make of it what you will. Good night from my mountain stronghold in studio. I bid you farewell until the next episode, until the next show. We will conquer it. Good night.
Come.